Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
When Joe Biden, our elected president, entered the room, when he approached me, his words to me were, My wife Jill and I know how you feel. We lost our son as well and brought him home in a flag-draped coffin. My heart started beating faster and I started shaking knowing that their son died from cancer and they were able to be by his side. Also wondering how someone could be so heartless to say he knew how I felt a little over 24 hours and learning of my son's death. After this encounter, I have never had any personal correspondence, nor has my son been honored or his name spoken by this commander-in-chief or his administration. On what I feel is because of their failures and poor planning to exit our troops from Afghanistan.
Representative Daryl Issa held a congressional forum for Gold Star families yesterday or this week. I think it was yesterday. For the families of the 13 service members lost in the Afghanistan withdrawal. And of course, that includes the fact that no one pulled the friggin' trigger on the sniper or on the bomber. There was no order given. They could have taken them out five friggin' times, six times over. And no one gave the order. Where does this exist? Where does the responsibility exist? Right up the chain. From Milley to Austin to Biden. Shame on all of you. Resign, that mom says. Resign. There's more of that as well. That, along with, you know, the 681 years or whatever it is that Trump faces, President Trump faces in prison. But then, wait a second, there's something else going on here. There's something else going on with respect to the judge, the proceedings, and all of that. And then the FBI special agents, they're all special, aren't they? Who investigated the Trump-Russia collusion to plead guilty to conspiring with who? With a Russian oligarch. Yeah. And then, of course, hey, buckle in, because getting ready, they're making batches of vaccines for a new strain of the coronavirus. It's coming. It be coming. With me is John Moore on this Tuesday, August 8th, 2023 edition of the Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman. I want to thank you so much for your belief and your trust in this platform. I'm going to be on with Pastor Butch Paw. You can tonight at 8 o'clock, you can call in, actually. That'll be on the Global Star Satellite Radio Network. In the program description guide here, I'll put a link to where you can listen and call in. All right. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. If you haven't done so, go to and bookmark thelibertyman.com. John Moore, I want to get his reaction from the Gold Star mom who had to sit through Biden lying his ass off. That demented old crusted up potato along with Joe Biden, his Jill and Joe, you know. But Joe Biden saying that, putting his son Bo on the same level. Hey, we brought forth a flag draped coffin too from our son. Jill and I did. No, you didn't. You were there at his side when he died. You had that opportunity, you You know, if there's anything, not my president, this is it. John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com. How are you, sir?
Doug, I'm outstanding. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Oh, you look outstanding, and I'm sure you are. So
I am. I'm ready to go.
All right. Thoughts? It was a perfect withdrawal from Afghanistan, right? Perfect. Biden, in Austin and Milley and leaving billions of dollars of equipment so our troops can get it up the wazoo. Go ahead.
Well, there's something called a standard operating procedure, SOP. The SOP, if you have to abandon equipment to the enemy,
you blow it up.
What we did, you disable it, you destroy it, you blow it up. Now, you hear a lot about how many billions of dollars worth of equipment there was on one hand, which is true and accurate. On the other, there's some things that were extremely critical. There was a box. I can't recall the name of the box. It's a piece of technology that all American military aircraft carry on board, which transmits a signal to identify them as a friendly American aircraft. Those were left behind also. Now, I'm sure the Chinese were there within minutes, hours, a day or two at the most, to be gifted or purchase one or more of these boxes from the Afghan authorities so that they could either make use of them themselves or reverse engineer them so that in the event of war, the Chinese military aircraft would be identified as friendly aircraft entering American airspace. Now, that's about as serious as it gets, Doug. I mean, the seriousness of the billions of dollars of equipment is important. The majority of that was sold off to the international arms trade. The weapons, the ammunition, the trucks, all the tens of thousands of pieces of equipment that were left behind. They went on the international arms market within days to be sold to mostly third world countries all over the planet in Asia, Africa and South America, because there is an international arms trade, and American military equipment is regarded as high value and would bring a very good price for the Taliban, who would be the people selling these things. Now, going back to that mother, that grieving mother.
Yeah.
Now, we often hear and see multiple times the defects in the cognitive ability of Joe Biden. That's not in dispute on one hand. On the other, he's not that far gone that he would mistake his son dying of cancer while he was by his bedside with his son dying in combat coming back in a flag-draped coffin.
This guy can't open his... John, let me just say this. This guy, Biden, can't open his flipping mouth without a lie falling out. He's a piece of crap. He is dishonorable. He's dishonest as the day is long. He's a thief. He's a criminal. And he's the one that should be in jail. That's Joe Biden. Joe Robinette Biden Jr. And his whore wife, Jill, and their crackhead son, Hunter. Okay, they should be in friggin' jail right now. If it was you, if it was me, we'd be in jail.
Roger that. We would be. We would be. Now, we got an interesting update on my website at thelibertyman.com on Joe Robinette Biden. It's an update on the two Joe Bidens, the real one and the fake one. This new entry on my website has multiple still photographs of both Joe Bidens, the real Joe Biden who has the dangling earlobe and the fake Joe Biden who has the attached earlobe. Which is, by the way, the fake Joe Biden gave the State of the Union address this past January. But the short video, it's maybe 2 or 3 minutes, it segues back and forth between the two Joe Bidens with these still photographs, focusing mainly on the right ear because it's so, so obvious. Now, my wife, Jane Moore, she can look and tell other more subtle differences that between the two. That women are better at picking this out than men, at least better than myself. The fact that the fake Joe Biden is wearing some kind of Hollywood makeup mask to make him look like the real Joe Biden, which, of course, that mask does not include the ears, obviously. And this is common knowledge in certain circles. I would love to see Tucker Carlson go public with the fact, easily provable fact, that there's two Joe Bidens. And people make the comment, Doug, that many kings, prime ministers, and presidents have a body double. Well, there is a lot of that on one hand. On the other, the body double typically would be at in a parade or some kind of public event where the principal needs to be protected and out of the way. But the joint session of Congress where the State of the Union is given is certainly a protected area where the Secret Service can ensure the safety of the president. There's no security reason why the real president could not give the State of the Union, which did not happen. The fake president gave the State of the Union this past January. So it makes me wonder if which Joe Biden would be arrested. Would they arrest the real one? Would they arrest the fake one? Or would they arrest both of them? What do you think, Doug?
Arrest them all. I've got the information I have is there's Biden plus three. So arrest them all and let God sort them out. But arrest them all. Okay, because they're all guilty in my view. They're all complicit in this great illusion that's taking place. And quite frankly, I'm sick of it. The deep state, the administrative state, the people who believe that they're in charge of this country, to me, are behind a lot of this. And we have a lot of these people embedded within our own government. And I believe what we need to do, I really do, I believe we need man, I'll tell you what, John, I'm not going to go where I'm going to go or where I want to go, but you know what? I don't think it's avoidable at this point. People from January 6th still in prison. You've got the Department of Justice still out, rounding people up for January 6th. I mean, beginning of that, I'm going to show you something on that, folks, as well.
A lot of listeners may not know this, but you and I both know this. Being in prison is bad, but being in jail is far worse. These men and women are in jail. They're not in prison. Jail has better structure for the prisoners. They have work details that they can do. They have all kinds.
Prison.
In prison, they have work that they can do. They have educational opportunities, recreational opportunities. That's not the way it is in jail. That D.C. jail is a place where basically you're locked up. You get out for maybe 1 hour of exercise and for your meals. That's about it. They don't have jobs for the prisoners. They don't have educational opportunities. They don't have any structured exercise programs for them. And these men and women have been there for some of them a year and a half without being brought before a judge and formally charged with a crime and having being able to post bond. They're not convicted of anything. And typically in the way our system normally works, if you're charged with murder, you're brought before a judge typically in no more than 48 to 72 hours at the very most. The charges are read. The judge decides whether you're likely the person who did the murder or not. And there's a bond set, even for people who committed murder. Typically, it's a bond they can't meet, but there always is a bond set. That's not what's happened to the January 6th men and women. They've not been brought before a judge. Charges have not been read, and there's been no bond set for these individuals, and are languishing in jail instead of prison, which is the worst kind of time you can do is jail time, isn't it, Doug?
Yeah, and I've had the pleasure, and I mean that with literally, of actually making sure somebody had gone to prison a few years ago, or gone to jail, I'm sorry, a few years ago, and discussing the very conditions that you describe with a particular judge. I've got no problem. The guilty being in jail for punishment, but when you've got the essentially uncharged individuals in jail or untried individuals in jail rotting away, and Americans seem to have forgotten about them, that downright pisses me off.
We need to look.
What's going to take? Okay, they put up walls around the Capitol with barbed wire. They put up walls in front of the White House and barricades and everything. What's it going to take for us just to get these people the hell out of the hell that they're in? Okay. And let's have a discussion then. Okay. Because obviously we can't have a discussion right now. But you know what? And people will say, well, you first. Okay. Okay. You give me, you know, 100,000 plus behind me and not a problem. Me first. But anyway, John, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Well, I'm sure by now all these individuals locked up for the January 6th event have representation. I don't know what paperwork these attorneys are filing, but they have to be filing writs of habeas corpus, which typically would be what it would take to get these individuals in front of a judge to have the charges read and a bond be set. Obviously, the normal things are not working. I believe this goes back to the Patriot Act, which eliminated the normal rights and protections that American citizens have enjoyed for 200 plus years when it comes to our judicial system. What they've done is an absolute opposite of the way the American judicial system was set up to work and has worked for more than 200 years. We're not supposed to, this is the way a banana republic works, Doug, where you lock people up, don't have them brought before a judge, don't have charges read, don't have a bond set for them to appear in court. It's a travesty. It's an absolute travesty. And the Department of Justice has just locked in, you know, dug in their heels to not perform. They're using the judges, of course, are doing the same thing, using the Patriot Act as a shield to say, we're allowed to do this with the Patriot Act. Yeah, and they are, unfortunately. The Patriot Act needs to go away, at least as part of it. What do you think, Doug?
Well, it does. However, I don't believe that we're going to be able to, with the current assembly of individuals, be able to get rid of the Patriot Act because, well, they're all deep state rhinos, maybe a handful, not so much, but they're all compromised, and we're not getting anywhere. Okay, so we need to clean house. Maybe at some point we need to go back to the original Constitution and follow the precepts of that Constitution, because what we have right now is abhorrent. And now on that, to segue, because your time is limited, this just came out, and this is. Let me just make sure. This is clip number one. This is Kash Patel explaining why this judge must recuse herself from prisoners. Or no, I'm sorry, not clip one. Gosh, there I go again. I'm getting ahead of myself. This is a nice segue. Starting again. The Department of Justice, talking about January 6th, is potentially looking to prosecute independent journalist Steve Baker for his reporting on January 6th. Now, folks, you know we were live on January 6th. We reported on January 6th, although I have not gotten a target letter yet. I've been told, well, you know what? Just listen to this, and we'll pause it as necessary. John, if you, because it's a lengthy clip, I'm not sure exactly how long this is, but if you want to pause it, just jump in and say, just, you know, pause and we'll talk. Go ahead, and this is clip three, the elusive clip three. Here it is.
Independent investigative journalist and a recurring guest on The Absolute Truth, Mr. Steve Baker, has spent the last more than 2 years investigating and trying to share the real story behind January the 6th. And for that, he may face dire consequences. Over the weekend, Steve publicly shared a concerning text message he says no journalist should have to wake up to. The text from his attorney suggesting that the FBI may be looking to finally get around to charging Steve on charges related to his independent reporting and coverage at the Capitol that day. His attorney notifying Steve that the FBI had reached out to confirm his continued representation of the journalist in order to conduct service of process. You see, Baker has been on the Department of Justice radar for quite some time now. The Epoch Times were reporting back in March that the former private investigator, now journalist, received a phone call from a well-sourced colleague warning that Baker had awakened a couple of people's attention to his work and they're, quote, not happy about it at all. He added that a DOJ insider told a colleague that his friend in Raleigh should be careful. You see, Steve took hours of exclusive footage that day, much of which he has shared with his followers and even offered to the DOJ via his attorneys, that contradict the official regime narrative being used to target thousands of U.S. citizens. Baker documented happenings in D.C. that day, all the way from the Rally of the Ellipse to inside the Capitol. Steve's footage showed Capitol Police firing into the crowd and spraying protesters with pepper spray. He called the Capitol Police drawing their weapons at the south side entrance of the Capitol, where he had this notable interaction.
Are you going to use that on us? Are you going to use that on us?
Somebody shot our shots in here, so we're clear there.
Are you going to use that gun on us?
If one of you guys has a gun, then that's...
None of us have a gun.
Okay, thank you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Stand aside.
We got cameras.
Steve saying, we got cameras. Baker also told Capitol Police that they were the only ones firing shots that day. And ironically, he shot this heart-wrenching footage of the extraction of veteran and protester Ashley Babbitt, who died from a gunshot wound administered by Capitol Police officer Michael Byrd. She was indeed unarmed. Now, if charged, Baker would not be the first journalist prosecuted by the Biden Department of Justice. If you'll recall, last month we spoke with Jesus J.D. Rivera, who spent several months in prison documenting events inside the Capitol that day. The government also seized his video equipment and have yet to return the personal work items to this day. But there were lots of press inside and outside of the Capitol that day, as you can see here from this screenshot taken from Baker's video footage, particularly so-called mainstream photojournalists and videographers. But none of the official narrative complicit media have been charged, and I think we know why. Let's welcome in independent investigative journalist Steve Baker himself to the show. Steve, as I have said, has documented his firsthand experiences from that day in great detail, particularly on his Locals blog, The Pragmatic Constitutionalist, which you can find at tpc4usa.com, tpc4usa.com. Steve, we were saddened and concerned to see this text message that you shared over the weekend. How confident do you feel that you will eventually be formally charged by the Biden DOJ?
Well, thanks for having me again, Emerald. I'm not confident of anything. They have left me in limbo now since really July of 2021. That was the first phone call that I received from the FBI requesting a voluntary interview with me. Now, working through my attorney, we did schedule that. It took place in early August. Actually, the first scheduled FBI interview was supposed to take place then. And what ended up happening, it was aborted after my attorney and I arrived at the Raleigh field office of the FBI. And the reason why it was aborted is they told me that, in fact, they had received notification from Washington that they could not interview me because of my status with the press, that they had to get express written permission from the United States Attorney General's office in order to interview a journalist. And turns out that is, in fact, part of the U.S. federal code. So it took them about 2 months before that proffer letter was offered, negotiated between the U.S. Attorney's office and my attorney. And then we did that voluntary interview sometime in mid-October. And then on November 17th, my attorney, this is November 17th of 2021. So almost, over 20 months ago, we had he received an email from an assistant U.S. attorney out of Philadelphia saying to my attorney, your client will be charged within the week, me being that client. We went on a press offensive the Monday of Thanksgiving week, 2021. We sent out over 200 press releases to media sources of all types and all sizes. And it seems that that must have been successful in some way because they apparently backed off. They were not happy with that. In fact, the U.S. attorney that emailed my attorney actually sent him an email with a copy of my press release. So they were obviously monitoring my communications. She had by 1:15 on the day that the press releases went out, she had a copy herself. She sent that to my attorney and said, we are not happy about this.
Okay,
and then I engaged.
We are not happy about this. We are not happy about this. Well, you think he's happy?
You think he's ecstatic? What, for taking for documenting the activities at on January 6th? John Moore, thoughts? Sure. Well,
for a bona fide journalist, and Mr. Baker is a bona fide journalist, to be charged with a criminal activity when, in fact, he's only doing what he's supposed to be doing, observing activity, recording activity, interviewing people at the activity, doing nothing illegal. He's doing the job that any bona fide journalist could and should be doing.
He was sandwiched between a couple of cable news outlets there.
Right.
And right. They didn't get anything. NBC, no. ABC, CBS.
Well, there's a defense right there, isn't there? Try to convince a jury that one journalist standing between two other journalists was doing something criminal when his activity was duplicating what the other journalists on his left and on his right were doing. That's going to be a hard sell for any prosecutor to convince 12 men and women that the man in the middle was doing something wrong. That's going to be a hard sell.
But John, if this was 1987, I'd agree with you. Then fortunately, this is 2023. You've got a whack job, nut job, potato head, cognitively impaired piece of crap in the White House. You've got an impeachable, or should be impeached, compromised attorney general. You've got all of this. You've got a Justice Department that, when you hear, folks, when you hear what this Justice Department is up to, So ordinarily, I'd agree with you. But wait, this trial is going to take place in D.C.?
That's an issue where I believe 97% of the adults in Washington, D.C. Vote Democratic.
Yeah.
Now, here's the hard thing for the prosecutor. See, the prosecutor has to convince 12 people that the bona fide journalist was doing something wrong. The defense needs to convince one juror that he wasn't doing anything wrong. That's a pretty high level high standard there to be able to get that conviction. I've been through many jury trials, and you have also. Despite voting Democratic, there's still men and women who, I think, for the most part, have a sense of what's right and wrong, despite voting Democratic. So the prosecutor, I think, would be ill-advised to put this matter before a jury, given the facts as I know them. I think that'd be a very unwise decision, Doug.
Yeah, the only thing I can say is I hope you're right. From what I've seen lately, though, and with what Donald Trump... Okay, because now this segues into the next clip that I'd like to show you. Since you're talking about judges and juries, President Trump, how many indictments? Four indictments? Three?
Right.
Or whatever it is.
At least four.
Okay. And facing essentially life in prison. Okay, now Kash Patel appeared with Sebastian Gorka. Regardless of what you think of Sebastian Gorka, regardless of what you think of Kash Patel, I happen to think very highly of Kash. Listen to this and tell me again. Reassure me again. Listen to this. This is about the judge in the indictments of President Trump. Go ahead,
Cash. Let's talk about this just show trial. And I can't believe this is either the fifth time I've discussed this. I can't believe I'm saying this. How is a judge who was at the same law firm with Hunter Biden, the president's son, and who hired Fusion GPS to go after Bob McDonald, the source of the smear filed against President Trump? How on God's green earth is this woman, Judge Chutkan, even allowed in the same building as this trial?
Well, that's because there are no coincidences in government, right. And that's because the swamp is the swamp. And look, Judge Chutkan, for those that don't know, I get that she represented Burisma, Hunter Biden's, fraudulent consulting firm. She was a lawyer at the same law firm with Hunter Biden. Right. But Seb, let's just put that aside. Let's just say, okay, what other matters are there for her recusal? Well, in 2017, when Devin Nunes and I were running the Russiagate investigation, We figured out who paid for the Steele dossier, the original sin that launched 1,000 ships against Donald Trump baselessly. Fusion GPS, the Democratic National Committee, and the Hillary Clinton campaign paid Christopher Steele millions of dollars, and they laundered it through the FBI and the FISA court to unlawfully surveil Donald Trump. That's big time stuff. On the eve of us winning that disclosure before the world knew, Fusion GPS took us to federal court, and that case landed in Judge Chutkan's courtroom.
No.
It gets better. It gets better. After a month of heavy litigation where Judge Chutkan knew the ins and outs of Fusion GPS, our proceedings, and all possible witnesses, etc., when she could not prevent us from prevailing, she recused on her own from that case. Why is that? Well, we would find out that her law firm, Boies Schiller, represented Fusion GPS. The very client that was in front of her in federal court was one of her former clients. That is rule number one for disqualification.
And by the way, just in case you just, you know, this is, you know, Boies Flexner is the same company where she and Hunter Biden worked.
Yeah, right. You can't make this stuff up. And so, but you got to ask yourself, Seb, how come it took her a month?
Yeah.
It's Judge 101. If you represented a client, they can never appear before you,
right.
Period. She wanted to block it. She wanted to block the bank records. Imagine if we never figured out who paid for the dossier. And why do I bring that up now? She set the precedent. She cannot neutrally and arbitrarily preside over Donald J. Trump's criminal trial when she recused herself from the very representation of the Democratic entrenchment, the DNC, the Hillary campaign, Fusion GPS, because she was so biased because of her prior representation from Boies Schiller. How could she possibly be allowed to stay on this case? And it wasn't us, Seb. We got her off because of her own history. That precedent is what Donald Trump's lawyers must apply this week.
Okay. So, John. Cash Patel is right. You can't make this stuff up. So if President Trump is pulling that lawyer in the venue of D.C., in the court system of D.C., what chances do you think Mr. Baker and others, other J6 defendants have in that sewage pit, in that swamp, even with that slight possibility, that slim possibility of humanity of one juror having some sort of conscience to you?
Well, Doug, the evidence that this judge should recuse herself is very clear and convincing. If she stays on this trial, that would be a reversible error in some court of appeals. In the meantime, President Trump would be convicted and would be looking at overturning it in the court of appeals. It shouldn't have to go that far. This judge should recuse herself. She has no business sitting as a judge in this matter. She's way too many personal connections, too much personal knowledge of what's going on, people involved. She cannot be an impartial judge. She simply can't. Hopefully,
you know, I agree. But do you see any cable news network reporting this? Do you see the New York Times or Washington Post covering this the way they did Agnew back in the day and Nixon? No, of course not. Of course not. You ask the average person on the street, oh, Donald Trump, orange man, bad. I mean, for everything, I'm frustrated. I'm thinking, you know, if you can't get them to, if you can't get the average person to look because the media won't report and they, the average person, won't investigate on their own, what chance do we have, brother?
Very slim chance. It's, you know, when I first heard Donald Trump was going to drain the swamp, I thought, well, this is great. The swamp got Donald Trump. He appointed bona fide members of the swamp to cabinet level positions, such as Mr. Barr, for example, and others. And he was in over his head. A New York businessman who's very smart, good at his lifelong pursuit of business interests. He knew things were bad in D.C. on one hand. On the other, he was out of his element. He trusted people that should not have been trusted. One of the notable exceptions was General Michael Flynn, one of the good guys that really would have done a great job And of course, the deep state recognized that very quickly. And they said, as soon as they saw General Flynn was being appointed to that position of in charge of security, national security, they put a plan in place to fraudulently remove him from that office because they were scared to death of General Flynn being in that position.
Let me think. Who did that? Who put that plan together?
Well, the FBI put it together.
Yeah, that would be...
Comer.
Comey, yeah. Comey.
Comer, whatever his
Comey.
Name is.
Yeah, James Comey, Comey. Whose daughter Comey. Happened... Well, should we talk about James Comey's daughter? Where she... Never mind. We won't go there. Folks, just look up James Comey's daughter and see what role she's playing in everything today. But go ahead. Continue on. I mean... this is beyond explanation. And by the way, folks, all of these clips will be available, including the link to John Moore's website, thelibertyman.com, at hagmanpi.com. Open today's description box. And do me a favor, subscribe to our Rumble channel, our Brighteon channel, both. Give us a thumbs up because, you know, we're trying to make up for the 250,000 subscribers we lost on CommyTube. So, anyway... go ahead, John. Sorry, no, I took you off.
That's okay. My belief is Donald Trump had the best of intentions. My belief is that he did the best he could to carry out those intentions. However, in my opinion, the 900-pound gorilla in the middle of the room is the COVID vaccinations.
Okay, let's talk.
Well, very recently, and I've been a big fan of Dr. Michael Yaden for a couple of years now. Dr. Michael Yaden was a vice president at Pfizer, director of medical research at Pfizer. He's a virologist, among other things.
Right.
He's now saying publicly, with no mincing of words, that all the COVID vaccinations are designed and meant to hurt and kill people, calling the COVID vaccinations the worst crime in human history. A very strong statement and a very true statement.
Yep.
The rest of these things, I mean, January 6th is important. Of course it is. These other matters are important. The election fraud, of course they are. However, compared to the worst crime in human history, they're pretty small potatoes. And that's what we're experiencing, Doug.
Let's spend the rest of our time together. Because I'm on a tear right now, so
I can tell that you are, Doug.
I'm at 4 a.m. when you start putting the pieces together about the and you watch the Cash Patel clip and all that, and you see the incestuous nature, and then I forgot about Marine Comey, the daughter of James Comey, actually prosecuting Ghislaine Maxwell's case. I forgot about that. You drink more coffee and then you get a little bit more edgy, and I'm about 3/4 of the way through a pound bag of my coffee myself today right now. So anyway, so you go ahead. This woke poke injecticide.
We keep one of the things that I continually find amazing about these. COVID alleged vaccinations. I say alleged because it was August of 2021, I believe, that they changed the definition of what is and what is not a vaccine. Under the original definition, what they're putting in people's arms, calling a COVID vaccination, is not a vaccination. They had to change the definition. That's kind of a side issue. I'm continually amazed at the new things they're finding out that's inside these COVID vaccinations. Alex Jones is reporting in the last 24 hours, there's something in there that makes you have an allergic reaction to eating meat, of all things. That's very strange.
Well, there's a tick-borne illness, and I got off the phone with, well, you know Dr. James, right? You know him.
I'm not sure, Dr. James.
Well, you know, I know you know who I'm speaking of. Okay. At any rate, he's in your state, and he's seeing a lot of patients right now who are getting bit by ticks, who suddenly become allergic to beef. And he explained the process to me. It's actually the creation. Well, you know what? I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But the bottom line is the reaction to a tick bite, in this specific tick, is the inability for one's body to process beef. And that thus he becomes allergic to beef or intolerant to beef. Okay. And isn't it funny, John?
No. Oh, nothing funny about it.
No, well, isn't it? Okay. Isn't it ironic?
It's a biological weapon, clearly. Well,
absolutely. And he said unequivocally, in his view, based on his research, that this had to be a chimeric substance introduced into the tick or deer or some population for transmission from tick to human. Now, if there is what you're saying, additionally, a spike protein element to this in the clot shots, the jabs, the injecticide, that's even worse and even more substance for the conversation. Go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. Well, I was, past tense, a very big supporter of President Trump. When he ran for president in 2016, there was one Trump campaign office in the entire country that was actually a brick-and-mortar location you could actually walk into. That one location was St. Louis, Missouri. I was asked to take over that office and be the manager of it in the summer of 2019, I guess it was. And I agreed to do so. And then the COVID lockdowns started up, and that shut down the whole operation. Their donations dropped off. They had to shut down the office. Anyway, that's how big a supporter of President Trump I used to be. And now I'm at a point where I was hoping that when President Trump announced he was running for election, that he would also announce how he was duped, how he was lied to by Anthony Fauci and others about the COVID vaccine, about the COVID-19. He hasn't done that. He hasn't come clean. And at this point, I don't believe he's going to, because he's still promoting the vaccine and taking credit and taking pride in Operation Warp Speed, which allegedly developed a vaccine in less than 9 months, which can't be done, obviously. It simply can't. Even if you trust in vaccines, which I don't, there's never been a vaccine released to the public in less than 6 years. It takes that long to do the testing, the animal testing, the human trials, and so forth. It can't be done in 9 months, and it wasn't done in 9 months. So he's taking pride in being a participant in the worst crime in human history. That's unacceptable. I can't support this man on that basis. Now, we need to remember that Robert Kennedy Jr. was part of the Trump administration for 4 weeks, 6 weeks. It wasn't very long before he was dismissed. What I've read, and I don't know if it's true or not, is that Bill Gates contributed, or one of the big pharmaceutical companies, just contributed $1 million to the Trump party campaign for the inauguration parties in exchange for dismissing Robert Kennedy Jr. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know whether explanation there is for Mr. Kennedy leaving the administration, but Robert Kennedy Jr.'s job, if he had stayed with the administration, was to look very carefully and publish the real deal on these vaccines, that they're not safe, they're not effective, and they're killing boys and girls, men and women, all the time in this country. So I once again, to reiterate, I am so disappointed President Trump is still publicly supporting the vaccines, stating publicly that they're a good thing, that they're safe and they're effective, taking pride and credit for Operation Warp Speed. It's so disappointing, because what are we left with? Robert Kennedy, I don't believe, will get the Democratic nomination. That won't be allowed to happen. It simply won't. There's some talk about Robert Kennedy and President Trump working together with RFK being the vice presidential candidate. With the massive difference they have on their publicly stated opinions on the vaccine. I don't know how that's possible. Simply don't.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this. Okay, I've got two questions. Since you mentioned RFK Jr., the Biden regime denied him secret of all candidates, John, of all candidates, his uncle, his head was blown off by the CIA, as well as other components. Okay, that were working together. His uncle JFK and his father was shot by a member of his own security detail. And that's been proved out, as well as some MK Ultra, some other programs, and at that time, okay, as well as the intelligence community, his own father was killed, and the Biden regime has denied this man Secret Service protection while running for the office of the president. That's comment slash question number one. Number two. Why then, okay, with respect to Donald Trump, why is the deep state going after Donald Trump if they're, I mean, if Donald Trump is pushing and supporting the so-called vaccinations, which they're not, the gene therapy shots, or I'm sorry, the gene manipulation shots. Why are they going after him so hard and wanting him never see the light of day again? Okay, so there's two elements there, and expand on it as much as you want.
Okay. Well, the first one is the easy one, the Secret Service. With the family history of his father and uncle both being assassinated, if any candidate deserves and needs Secret Service protection is Robert Kennedy Jr. That's unconscionable. It's wrong on the face of it that that protection would be denied Robert Kennedy Jr. Let's move on to the second question. What was that again, Doug?
Why is Donald Trump, okay, given the fact that he still hasn't done a mea culpa, hasn't said,
okay,
don't
okay,
take
okay. Okay, let's get to that. I got the question.
Okay.
My belief, and I don't have any evidence, just what I observe, is that Donald Trump probably is a true believer in the vaccine, in the clot shots. And he won't entertain. I've known and worked with men like this, and you probably have also. His leadership style is my way or the highway. I can't be wrong, so shut up. That's basically his leadership style. And he really believes the COVID clot shot is a good deal on one hand. On the other, the rest of his beliefs and policies put at risk the deep state for decades in the future. Just giving one example, his appointments to the federal bench, more than 100 conservative federal judges who will be there 20, 30, sometimes 40 years to the future. And that's very harmful to the deep state. His Supreme Court appointments, also very harmful to the deep state. Other things he's done that are very good for United States national security, very good for our economy. Before Biden took office, the United States was a net petroleum exporter. The prices were really, really good shape. I believe make-believe President Biden shut down the that new pipeline the first 24 hours he was elected and took office, didn't he?
It's
there would be no war in Ukraine if President Trump was still president. He would have done something to negotiate a peaceful settlement between the two countries, which would have made this entire very wasteful, deadly war unnecessary. And Trump is saying right now, if I'm elected president, I'll end that war in Ukraine in 24 hours. And he'll probably do it if he's elected. So he presents a clear and present danger to the deep state in every venue except the venue of the worst crime in human history, which is no small deal.
Right. So Are you saying then that one issue on balance of all of the others is the key issue or the foremost important issue over everything else? I guess, and if that's the case, why not let up on him? Okay, it doesn't make sense to me.
They can't afford to. I have a new Friday guest, Doug. She's a scientist. She's the elected coroner of Crawford, of Texas County, Missouri, the largest county in the state in square miles. And she is president. She missed my show this past Friday. She had to attend an autopsy. Her statement, unequivocal, says the following. Every man, woman, and child who's got a COVID vaccination and one or more boosters will be dead in 3 to 5 years. Doug, that's half the people plus of this country. That's what we're looking at. But these other issues, what are they compared to almost half the country being dead? Pretty small potatoes.
Now, the information I have, and let me see what your take is on this. Out of the, I'm going to say, four companies that really, it's less than that, but we'll say the four companies that distributed the shots. There were different lots and different batches and different lots, whatever subset of different subsets of the injectable. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. Having said that, now this is according to recent studies that prove this out. Some were essentially inert. Others were not so much. I mean, they had some gunk in there, but not the full dose. And maybe a third had the full dose of the bad stuff. And that third, and perhaps a portion of the second one I mentioned, is what we're seeing in terms of deaths. So, this was done, according to the sources I have, to confuse the scientists, the true scientists behind the analysis of these injections. Because, if you recall, I think Del Bigtree and Peter McCullough, forgive me, I could be wrong, they said, well, there's no graphene oxide. We didn't find any graphene oxide. Yet others found not just graphene oxide, but the patents for graphene oxide and hydrogel. So there's different formulations to all of this. So two questions. Do you want to still stand by your statement?
I'll stand by it.
Okay. And the second question, real quick, is... it escaped me. I was going to say.
Okay, well, we almost out of time anyway. Every time you get another booster, it comes from a different lot.
Yeah.
And I reviewed the lot numbers from my daughter, my son-in-law, and my two youngest grandchildren. They turned 17 this coming week. All the batch numbers and lot numbers, I should say. Some were of no consequence. Others were the poison. So it's Russian roulette, where every time you take the cylinder and spin it, you may put in a blank or you may put in a live round, and then the gun's handed back to you. Eventually, you're going to get a live round that will take you out. That may not be the best analogy, but it's the first one that comes to mind, and that's
it's good. I mean,
it's. Yeah, there's saline solution, and there's poison. But every time you get a new booster, will it be or will it not be the poison? And people don't know this in advance. You're not told it's in advance, obviously. The people administering the shots don't know this either. Now, Doug, you and I both investigated many murders. My first murder case was 50 years ago this September, next month. If I wanted to kill a lot of people, maybe 100 or more, I wouldn't kill them all at once. I'd spread it out so it wouldn't be obvious what was happening, especially if it was done by covert means. Some die from cancer. Some die from blood clots. Some die from aneurysms and so forth, as opposed to everybody dying at the same time. That's what they're doing, Doug, with the different lots, some being saline solution, others being poison. They're spreading out the fatalities to make it harder to tell what's going on.
Right. And that in turn causes certain investigative journalists to turn on others who are doing the same thing, trying to get down to the truth. And no, hydrogel or graphene oxide, not present, not present. No, wait a second. What you examine is not present there, okay?
Right.
And that's all you could testify to.
Right.
Okay, so, all right.
And the PCR tests themselves were contaminated.
Correct.
I personally interviewed a medical student who said his buddies in the Army Reserve Medical Corps mailed in 600 PCR test swabs that no human being had touched. All 600 came back positive, which means all 600 were contaminated with the COVID-19.
Okay. Well, now, isn't that something?
Well, it is. I mean, they were giving people COVID-19 with the test swabs. Obviously, they were.
Yeah, and where were these manufactured? Do we know?
Well, I'm pretty sure some came from China.
Yes.
But that's why the test swabs went this long distance inside your nasal passage. If they just needed to swab the mucous membrane, they could do that right at the beginning of the nose, not all the way up near your brain. But they wanted to get that COVID-19 all the way next to the brain to make sure they got an infection is what they did.
Which goes back to my original statement, you know, about the people. Look, I guess I can excuse the initial group of people who said, well, okay, you know, yeah, okay, this must be okay. But, you know, for a few minutes, anyway, I can almost excuse that. But
you mean the healthcare professionals?
No, I mean just general, average, run of the mill people,
right,
like you,
okay,
and me. Okay,
right.
I guess, you know, I better grab this because, well, you know, we've had no reason to distrust the science in their mind. Okay, so they get it, and bam, you know, it's a death sentence. Okay, for some. So, but what I can't excuse is the continued ignorance and deliberate ignorance of the people out there. You talk about cults. I mean, these people are cult-like. But, yeah, and continue. I mean,
well, here's a breaking headline I'm reading right now. It's just been posted at the Liberty Daily.
Okay.
Dr. David Martin says the following. Coronavirus as a model for a biopathogen was isolated in 1965 for use as a biological weapon.
Right. Yes. Actually, I heard that a couple of days ago, but I think, yes, Liberty Daily. Well, there you have it. Okay, so, but by whom? Who created it?
Well, most likely the boys and girls at Fort Meade, Maryland. That's been the headquarters for the biological weapons experiments for years. And, of course, Plum Island, which they shut down Plum Island and moved that whole facility to Manhattan, Kansas, which just the new facility just recently opened, by the way, in the last few weeks.
Unbelievable. You know what? Look, I know you're going to jump pretty soon, so take us wherever you want to take us. TheLibertyMan.com is John Moore's website. I bogarted the entire segment here. So.
Well, that's okay, Doug. It was all important information. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my show is Monday through Friday's live show, 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time. I have archives on 10 different platforms, including Rumble and Brighty on Twitter and others. And I have very knowledgeable guests that have highly specialized knowledge in their areas of expertise. And I found out a couple of years ago that men and women at the Pentagon listen to my show. They do that because they want to, not because they're paid to. And I would suggest that you check it out also. Amen. at the Liberty. Oh, by the way, I'm speaking at the next Red Pill Expo this weekend in Des Moines, Iowa. That's this coming weekend, and I'll be one of the speakers.
Okay. Are there still tickets available for that? Because
as far as I know, I haven't been told they're not. So I don't believe they're sold out. Typically, they get close to selling up, and we're probably near that point.
Red Pill Expo, folks. Catch John Moore this weekend there at the Red Pill Expo in Des Moines, Iowa. Go to thelibertyman.com. Is information on your website?
It is. All the information and tickets can be bought right there at thelibertyman.com.
John, you are a gentleman, and when you're around the people at the Red Pill Expo, please give them my best. And I know
I'll do that. Maybe you make the next one, Doug.
Perhaps. Yeah. It's well.
You're ready to do more shows, doing once a week like we used to?
We are working on a plan of action.
Okay.
So
okay.
I will be in touch. But
sounds good.
In the meantime, God bless you. Thank you for appearing.
Thank you,
today.
Doug. It's good to be with you as always.
And you're looking like $1 million. All right.
I do. Thank you.
All right. See you later.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Make sure you bookmark his website. He's got some tremendous guests on. It's a great show. I'm going to go into overdrive a little bit here. Well, because there's some additional things that we really need to discuss, okay? As we opened the show, and I was on the tear when I came in here, and I still am. But when you've got Gold Star families that are testifying before Congress, and you hear that woman stand up and say that Biden came to her and lied or misremembered, or I don't know what you would even call that, had the horrific audacity to say, yeah, my son came home in a coffin, John, I know how you feel. And that's a lie. But yet it's excused by the press. How far have we fallen as a republic? Why aren't the ladies of The View? Eric watches them every day. I mean, I can't tear them away from that. I know.
It's my favorite show.
Yeah.
Whoopi's hot.
Hey, Whoopi, you know, and the other thing, every time I see Whoopi, you know, I think, what the hell is Ted Danson thinking? Okay, anyway. Look, I'm just saying, all right? It's just me. How can this be forgivable? Excusable? Okay, it can't. And when John was on, we were talking about the J6 prisoners. Stephen Baker, journalist, the former private investigator, targeted now by the Department of Justice. It was started in 2021. Yeah, I know how that feels, okay? And targeted now with potential jail time for his role as a journalist. Now, I'm not a journalist. I'm an investigator behind the microphone. I'm telling you right now, this is only going to get worse, and we need to formulate a plan as patriots. I'm telling you right now, they are coming after us. Please understand this. They are coming after us. Can I say that one more time? They are coming after us. And by us, I mean anyone who is anti-transgender, anyone who is pro making America great again, with or without Trump, okay, it doesn't matter. Although, you know, if you associate with Trump, that's even better. Look, folks, I get what John's saying, okay? But I still have to look at this and think, well, if, on balance, if, you know, the jabs, and he hasn't retracted that, but the administrative state is still going after him. There must be some other reason for that, just in a logical, linear thought process there. And, you know, why do they want him dead, which is they want him dead? And why? And there's something deeper here, too. And I'm telling you, there's something deeper. You know, look, I know the we had a meeting, forum meeting of our supporters on Sunday. And yes, I know, MK Ultra is so yesterday, right? Okay, let me tell you something. That may be true to some extent, but it is still going forward. At least it has been refined, tweaked, and advanced into the public sphere. Maybe we're seeing part of that play into the this whole mess where you have this Trump derangement syndrome. And again, look, he's an imperfect man, but I believe God uses imperfect leaders, okay? I believe that. Now, whether that's the case in this case, I don't know. I don't know. So don't send me emails or make comments like, well, you're absolutely pro-Donald Trump. Well, if you've got Merrick Garland, Joe Biden, Obama, and all of the deep state people against Donald Trump, I'm looking at his enemies. And if they're truly his enemies, which all the evidence shows that they are, then there's got to be something there. All right, let me change gears here. I want to show you something. Look, I don't know what to make of this. I spoke last night with Liz Harris, who is she was elected to the Arizona State Assembly and then kicked off the Arizona State Assembly. All right. And I asked her about this. My son-in-law had sent me this clip after I had seen it hours before. And this was an interview between a female member of the Department of Defense and part of the Space Force, who appeared on a British talk show program. Now, I'm sure all of a sudden, like, a lot of light bulbs are going off there and saying, oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. I know the interview you're talking about. And some say she's bat crazy, right? Others have said, well, you know what? Hey, if she said it, it took a lot of, you know, guts to say what she said, because there seems to be a lot of, listen to me carefully now, Q-like references. I disagree with that, because I do believe you can have historically accurate information built into something that perhaps some psyop repeated or mentioned. It's not mutually exclusive. I mean, it doesn't have to be the same, from the same root stem, if you will. But I want to play you this interview. This is on the Stephen Dixon show, or Stephen Dixon is the guest, or the host, I'm sorry. And he invited this woman on. And I'm sorry, I'm forgetting her name here. And I didn't write it down. My bad. But, again, a position with the Department of Defense, Space Force. Please listen and watch this. And I want to get your take on this. Because when I spoke with Liz Harris, who should, and believe me, she's well-connected. And I asked her opinion on this. I'm not going to speak for her. But she said, wow, well, you know what? Yeah, I saw that. And boy, you know, if she, or as she said that, she stands to lose a lot of credibility and a lot of, I mean, she stands to lose more if what she said is all just BS. You know what I mean? Why say it if it wasn't prompted for you to say? But watch this clip in these show notes. This is clip number 2, and it's about 9 minutes long. Okay, I'm not sure how much we're going to get through this, but let's go ahead and play this. Here it is.
Well, let's talk to Jan Halper-Hayes, who's a U.S. political analyst, and he's here in the studio. Good to see you, as always.
Good to see you.
There's so many people putting this down as a political conspiracy theory, but actually there are real questions to be answered here.
There are?
Yeah, of course there are. Of course there are.
What he's being accused of, but what part do you think is to answer, that the 2020 election is going to be relitigated because of this? They've made a huge, huge mistake with this one. Because even though we thought what was going to happen was they were going to go after him for treason or sedition, but they did criminally charge him, but they didn't go to that extreme. As a result, he has due process, so he can subpoena people and bring things in. Now, let me say something about this 2020 election, is that Biden is the legitimate president, but he's the legitimate president of what is now the bankrupt U.S. corporation. And that was a treaty in 1871. Well, on September 12, 2018, Trump created an executive order. Within that, he outlined in future elections any kind of foreign or domestic interference, specifically for the 2020 election. So we say, how did he know some of these things were going to happen? Election integrity on both sides of the aisle is tough. It's really tough. But what this has done is it's opened the door for Trump to present his case.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, what we see on this side of the pond is a very difficult situation where the legal system is politicized in the United States, which is abhorrent to us over here. So the fact that Trump can subpoena, some people saying it's a mistake by Jack Smith, but actually he can subpoena, people can actually see evidence from both sides, that's a sensible move.
Exactly. And it's a great mistake by Jack Smith that he's done that. Absolutely great. See, the thing is, think about Edward Snowden and all the information he had. Think about the fact that our military, our Department of Defense, Space Force, if you think that they don't have the actual real results from the election, then you're fooling yourself.
Yeah, but what we do know with this is we're told that there are plenty of notes from people, including Vice President Pence, that there are some recordings of Donald Trump acknowledging that actually what he said in public was nonsense. That some of these states, whether he claimed he was out saying it's, I mean, look, Detroit, it's corrupt, it's all corrupt, the results are corrupt. And that when in reality he knew it wasn't, that's illegal.
But you know what? That's what someone's claiming, but that's not the fact, and that's not what Donald Trump really has ever said. He's been very, very clear. I mean, the issues were, for example, in Pennsylvania, the Supreme Court of the state of Pennsylvania stepped in and changed some of the election laws. Under our Constitution, it's only the state legislators that can do that. 2,000 Mules, the film that came out. What they did, they spent over $4 million tracking the phones. And the reason it's only 2,000 Mules is that based on the visits to the drop boxes in Georgia, they had to have gone over 10 times. And they've got all the film for that. So the thing is that the election integrity is so different and so problematic in every single state, every single state. But that doesn't mean that the machines didn't do something, that there were some other kind of finagling. But the long and short, go ahead.
Well, it doesn't, but that's where conspiracy comes in, is it? To say, well, it doesn't mean that something didn't happen. Well, there's no evidence that it happened. I mean, there's how many court cases did the Trump campaign try to bring? There's nothing's gone in his favor.
Okay, wait a minute. everyone, the media goes, oh, there were 60 court cases that were rejected. No, there were three. He won two. He lost one. 57 were never heard because they had no standing. And standing means that the person bringing the case has to claim some kind of impact or injury. So it's really, you know, the media did that, and they're great at doing that, but it was a fallacy in there. And the thing is that, you know, I sit on a task force at the Department of Defense, and the thing is, they've got the goods. They've got the goods. And Trump knew that if he presented any of the goods early on, we'd have a civil war. That he really felt that the people needed to see how bad it could get.
And that's the sense that we're getting from Trump's lawyer about what his defense is going to be. So this is all going to be based on free speech, the First Amendment in the U.S. Constitution, that he had a right to say what he believed. And he believed that the election results were not as was put out. But the point is, if you live in a democracy and you believe in a democracy, then that means that even if you don't like the outcome of an election, you respect that because it's a democratic vote.
Well, a democratic vote, and so therefore he should be silent about it.
He has a right to speak, but the issue, of course, is if he then acts to subvert that election result.
Oh, so that because you think he's being criticized because in Georgia he said, can you find me 12,000 votes? Or, you know, the thing is, he didn't try to subvert anything. What he's really done is he set up the deep state to come out, and that's why we're seeing all these things. I mean, it was revealed with whistleblowers and Hunter Biden's ex-best friend that in 2015, the head of Burisma gave Joe and Hunter Biden $10 million bribe. In 2018, Joe is on TV publicly saying that he threatened that unless they got the prosecutor fired, that he wasn't going to let them have their $1 billion in support. In 2019, Trump calls Zelensky to find out about what went on to get the prosecutor fired, and he gets impeached.
Mm.
I mean, that's... We've lived with it for a long time.
We're almost out of time. I just want to pick you up on one thing. You said earlier on, you know, Donald Trump has been very clear on this. Is he a man that you believe? I mean, look, he's about as believable as a chocolate teapot.
All right, I'm going to stop.
Look,
it right
I know
there.
That.
You, folks,
oh,
you can watch the entire clip because she gets into. His visit, President Trump's visit to the Queen and protocol there. And then she gets into the Vatican and the gold supposedly held by the Vatican and planes coming over to the U.S. carrying the gold because of the dissolution of the Corporation of America, 1871, that whole deal there to fund the Civil War. And, essentially to fund the Civil War. Okay, so there's a lot of like woo-woo stuff there, right? If you think about it, and there is much some questionable things. But here in her position, and I was trying to do a back at least a minimal background, okay. Beyond her position, there's not much I could find worthy of discussion. So here's my question, okay? And a couple of things she said bothered me in addition to the questions. And again, what do I think? It really doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the facts are. But I'm a reasonable, intelligent person with investigative experience. And my first question is, what benefit would she have to go onto a program like this in a hostile environment, knowingly a hostile environment, and talk about things that are so far out into the weeds that they would laugh at her and call her out? Again, Hageman PI, you can watch the entire clip. But so the one thing that she said that bothered me was, well, he had to wait in order to show how bad things are. Okay. When Eric, because I asked Eric to take a look at this as well, and when she said that, Eric looked at me like, huh? Okay. You don't have to stick your hand in a blender that's running to know it's going to, or down a garbage disposal to know it's going to hurt like a, you know, hurt bad. I'll be calling you Stumpy. You know, does it have a ring of truth to it? There's certainly some of the things that she said are true, but is, what's that all about? Okay, now, if you think that I'm bringing this to you and saying this is the absolute truth, no, I'm not doing that. I have my questions about this. I'd love to sit down and talk with her, find out her the scope of her reach, and if the Department of Defense, which, again, if you think about who, and think about this as well, who is behind Operation Warp Speed, since John had talked about the injections? It was Department of Defense. It was an initiative through the DOD. The Space Force is under the Department of Defense. But what role do they play in assuring election integrity? The only thing I was able to come up with, and again, this is a work in progress on my part, is the electronic surveillance or packet information or the computer activity, intercontinental computer activity, I believe could, I suppose, fall under her purview. But what about the six specific counties? And you only need six in bellwether states to, or key states to really change the course of an election. What about the ground game or the that particular aspect of things? Again, many people will dismiss this out of hand. Okay, say, it's a waste of time. I just want to say, wait a minute. Before we dismiss anything, I don't want to waste your time, I don't want to waste my time, but before we dismiss anything, let's take a deeper look at this information. And, you know, where do you think this is all going? Now, pair this with something that she said that is coming true, that Jack Smith, the special prosecutor that's going against President Trump, didn't take it far enough. He couldn't take it far enough, in other words, into the treason, sedition area. Therefore, opened the door for discovery. Okay, in the lawyers out there and investigators who were familiar with the jury trials and trials, and you understand, okay, you understand what's happening here. And this is something that was reported on by the Conservative Treehouse. I think it was yesterday. Florida District Court, it was August 7th, so that had been yesterday. Florida District Court Judge Cannon denies special counsel motions to seat evidence from public review, asks Smith to justify out-of-district grand jury. What did I just say there? Because that just sounded like a word salad to me. Well, Florida District Judge Eileen Cannon denied a request by the Department of Justice to keep evidence sealed in the Mar-a-Lago documents case. Now, in addition, and there it is on your screen for those watching on Rumble or Brighteon, you get a cookie, Eric the Tech, get a cookie, thank you so much. Cannon demanded that Special Counsel Jack Smith explain why he's using a district grand jury to construct additional charges against the defendant. So this is an artifact. What you're seeing on your screen is an artifact of Jack Smith being unable to go that extra mile to bring in more serious charges that would disallow certain elements of a normal trial within a normal trial. So, Cannon, the article states by Sundance, has presided over the document issues even before the indictment against Donald Trump was unsealed. And as a result, she's got a good frame of reference for the lawfare tactics the special counsel is attempting to deploy. So, in a nutshell, what Smith is trying to do is to deny Donald Trump discovery of documents and calling witnesses, exculpatory witnesses, even to the extent of Hunter Biden or whoever whatever the case might be. This also has built into it, and Sundance explains this, that the Department of Justice does not want the second defendant in the documents case, and that's President Trump's butler, body man, Walter Nauta, to have the same attorney as someone who might be a co-defendant or witness in the case. And right, Sundance and Garcia hearing, which is referenced in page one or on page one, refers to a hearing held under criminal procedures to ensure that the defendant who was one or more of two defendants is represented by the same attorney realizes that there is a risk of conflict of interest inherent in joint representation. So it's kind of like Eric and I going out and hypothetically, obviously, robbing a bank and then having the same defense witness or defense attorney. Sometimes that will place at odds the whole case, you know, at odds. Okay, that myself and Eric the Tech would, you know, have different interests built into this. Ask me how I know. No, never mind. Judge Cannon denied the Department of Justice request to keep filing sealed in this case, and she removed sealed filings from the record. The reason I bring this up in the context of that interview that you watched is, in some respects, she is correct in saying that he didn't go far enough, that that's a reference to Smith, and as a result, this happens. Well, it doesn't take someone from DOD or the Space Force to really make that to come to that conclusion. But there's something else going on here. And I'm going to wrap it up by saying this. That something else has got to be just a critical event or series of events that will knock this off of, that will take this into a different trajectory. Okay. Whether, in other words, whether President Trump becomes incapacitated, okay, for example, or suddenly this all goes away because of, I don't know, maybe he's unable to run for the office. I don't know. But there's something else going on here. Or maybe there won't be an election at all. Or maybe this is all just smoke and mirrors for yet even a larger agenda. Look, I think both can be true. I think the larger agenda is in play. But I also think on a managerial level, you've got, and that's where I would place this, you've got people doing what they're supposed to do. And of course, from there, the other things above them, they're still happening. So it's kind of like a belt and suspenders approach to problems, issues, and people. I don't know if that made sense to you or not, but I really would take a look at that interview. Tell me what you think. Also, take a look at Cash Patel explaining why the judge in the latest Smith filing case must recuse herself from President Trump's trial. This is now. This is different. This is the Mar-a-Lago documents case. They're coming after him in every form and fashion available. So there you go. A lot of stuff going on, and yes, developing a new vaccine for a new shot for a new variant. Oh yes, and CBDCs coming at you, and we can go on and on and on. There's not a shortage of things to talk about. Be on Pastor Butch Paul's program tonight. God bless. Have a good evening.